His goodness, so that we can see the difference and then enjoy His presence. I'm reminded of a young man in his late 30s. Had a wonderful career working in a bank, and always been brought up in the best way possible. And he was searching for God. At that point of time, some people introduced him to a particular faith. I don't want to mention that faith because that's not my interest. And then he went in, and then eventually he found out that he wasn't too very happy, neither was he satisfied with his newfound faith. And so he decided to give up. As he was thinking of giving up his faith in this, he was told by the leaders who led him to the faith, that if he should leave them, he will have no more hope. And then with that fear, he kept on following them. Until one day, he was my neighbor. I was in Indonesia, in a place called Silat, in a little village. And he was there because he wants to plant a bomb at a building which believers meet, a large building. He didn't know that I'm the speaker. So we stayed together. We were neighbors. And then I spoke to him and said, and then we begin to enjoy each other's company, because I was there on a Friday. The meeting is supposed to be on the Lord's Day, Sunday. And as we sat to talk, and the 2 days that he was there, I could see him slowly getting into more and more stress, because in anxiety. So I said, look, has the Lord Jesus Christ come into your life as yet? And he says, why do you ask me that? I said, see, we need the Lord Jesus Christ to lead us in our life. What can that make? Will that make any difference? It makes a world of difference. Have you invited the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life as yet? And he says, no. Then I said, if that's the case, then come and sit with me and let's pray and look at the Word of God and see what God can do for you. What God can do for me? No, I have to do something for God. And I say, what are you going to do for God? And he says, you come into my room. I went into his room. Opened up his bag. He showed me all the gadgets that were ready. And he says, I'm going to blow that building on Sunday. And I told him, I'm going to be there on Sunday. He says, what for? He said, I'm the preacher. And then his face turned pale. And he says, I cannot kill you. I said, why? He says, you have been so nice to me. You have accompanied me these 2 days. I was in stress. I was in anxiety. You have been accompanying me. You've been talking to me. How can I do something that will hurt you, harm you, or even kill you? And then I said, give me an opportunity to read the scriptures to you. And he says, all right, open the Bible. And the Lord gave me this passage that we're going to listen this morning. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Let me tell you of another young man. I was up on a hill. The Lord led me to a young man who was in his early 20s. He was spending his time on that hill because he wants to know what life is all about. And the Lord led me to him. We had a chat together. Then I found out that he has not have yet received the Lord Jesus Christ, although he has an interest for the Lord Jesus. And he didn't know that he should ask the Lord Jesus to come into his life. He thought it is all right to have the Lord Jesus Christ in his mind. He says, I every day think about the Lord Jesus Christ. I admire him. I enjoy all that the Lord Jesus Christ is in this world. I know he has come to give us peace. But I have not received him into my life as yet. And it was the same passage that we read together. And then I asked him, would you now turn around and receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your life? He says, yes. The remaining of the story will come if there is time after this. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Now, how long am I given here? Till tomorrow? No. How long? Till quarter? Oh, quarter to one, eh? A quarter to 12. 12 o'clock. Okay, good. You're very kind. Good. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, and I'm just going to read you just one verse because we read the whole chapter, in fact, but just one verse. Verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. The Lord will bless this word to us. It is an exciting passage simply because you see that the people that came to see the Lord Jesus Christ, they had one thing in their heart. They had one desire. They wanted to hear the word of God. And that's very important. They wanted to hear the word of God. If we hear the things around us, well, that may give us wisdom. Our knowledge may grow. It's good to hear things around us. It is good to hear our parents. They will educate us. It's good to listen to our teachers. Yes, they will give us insight into what we need to know and learn and understand and live by. Well, we listen to the politician. It's also good because they will help us to see how this life of ours is going to go on. And leaders, and there are many people whom we can listen to. But it is not the same as listening to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listening to the Lord Jesus Christ can make a difference. Because the Lord Jesus Christ makes a difference in your life. Recognizing the Lord Jesus in one's life will empower and enable a person to live for God and live by the power of God. Now, these people came, they want to hear the word of God. Now, what can the word of God do? What can the word of God do? Number one, the word of God can introduce us to who God is. God knows all about us. Do you realize that? God knows all about us. And where do we learn this? We learn it from His Word. Yes, Job was a man in the Bible who went through trials and testing in life. The trials and testing that he went through was so very severe. It was a painful experience that he has to go through, in spite of living a life that most probably we would desire to live. He was living a good life, yet he has to go through trials and testings. And during that period of time, he had three friends, three companions, who were trying to tell him, after a long silence, were trying to tell Job, there's something wrong in you. Do you realize that? Now, Job has, by all reasoning, have lived a life that is pleasant, admirable life. Anyone reading the life of Job will desire to live like him. Yet his friend is one who knew him a little more than we the readers, begin to tell him. In Job chapter 37 and verse 16, Elihu said to Job, he says, look, Job, God has perfect knowledge of you. You can't hide anything from God. God has perfect knowledge of you. It was the same thing. David, when he wanted to encourage his son to build the temple, one of the words that he told Solomon, David's son, was this. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9. For the Lord searcheth all the heart and understandeth all the imagination of thy thought. You see, not only the Lord knows us, but he searches our heart. He understands all the things that go through our mind. Day by day, moment after moment. You see, this is the God that we are speaking about. Your God, my God, the God of this world. And how can we know Him? It is very interesting that in the first verse we read, the people press upon him. So where was God then? God was in Christ Jesus, in their presence, and they have come to hear the word of God. Now the beautiful thing here is that God was there first. And God in Christ Jesus has come to you and to me. And every day, this is called the days of grace. Every day in these days of grace, God comes to each and every individual. And he is there. And like this people, all we need now is to press upon him. As we get closer to him, what we need to do is to hear God's word. That must be our chief aim. Now the bomb maker that I was telling you, who wanted to plant the bomb on that building, came to realize this. That God knows all about him. And you know what he said? He says, now I know why you and I were in the same place. It is not by chance. Because God knew me and God knew you and he puts us together so that I can tell you I have come to plant the bomb on the next building. And then you can tell me that you are going to be the preacher there. God knows us. God searches our heart. And he knows all our thoughts. Now, what would we have to say before God? If the Lord Jesus Christ were to ask you what kind of a person you are, what would you say? Was my question to the bomb maker. What would you say? Would you say you are a murderer? He says, no. Would you say that you are to violate the law of the land? He says, no. And what would you say? He says, I don't know. Then he says, let me tell you. The purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world is to seek and to save that which was lost. You are lost. Where were you lost? You are lost in sin. Sin has taken control of your life. You are under the grip of sin. And that's why you are going to do more sin. Practice the sin. You have a sin nature that has not been settled with, and therefore you're going to practice sin. He thought a little while, the whole face was getting more paler than he was at the beginning. And then he says, that's true. That's true. I have practiced sin, and to avoid those practices of sin, that I sought this way of religion. Yes, religion can help you in some way, but religion cannot save you. Who can save? Only the Lord Jesus Christ, because he came down from heaven. He came down to seek after you. This is the wonderful news. This is the good news of God. That God came to man to seek him out and to save him. These people were pressing there because they want to hear the word of God. What kind of a word will the Lord Jesus Christ speak? If you go behind to chapter 4, you would find in verse 22, this is the kind of word that the Lord Jesus Christ would speak. And he bore, and all bore him witness. Luke chapter 4 and verse 22. And all bore him witness and wondered. All bore witness and they were amazed. They wondered at the gracious word. Mahmud that day heard the gracious word of God. Mahmud was the bomb planter. He heard the gracious word of God and he says, it is pleasant. Because The Lord Jesus Christ says to Mahmud, come unto me, you that are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. And that rest was what Mahmud was searching. And he thought he could search it out through a religion. Eventually, that did not come by. He got entangled by that religion. And then now, he is a slave to sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to set Mahmud free. How did he do it? Yes, the Lord Jesus came into this world. A sinless one. The very God became the very man. The only man that ever lived on this face of the earth, walked upon the face of this earth without a sin nature. The only man. And therefore, he is the only man who can pay the price for all other men. The Bible says, by one man's disobedience, sin was introduced into this world. And all men were made sinners. And through one man, the Bible says, through one man's sacrifice, sin was paid for. The sin problem was settled through the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, the Lord Jesus says, I come into this world not to be served. I come into this world not to be served. Last night we were in a home, Gordon and me. We were in a home of a couple, Linda and Paul, is it? Linda and Paul, here right in Vancouver. And say, Paul, that's a nice name. Says, are you a believer? I said, I'm a Catholic. I said, very good. Linda, are you a believer? She says, I believe everything. Oh, that's very good. It's good to believe everything. It's good to believe something. Now, whatever we believe, we will know the end result of our faith. So I said to them, have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as yet? There was a silence. So I say, where is God now? Remember that? Where is God now? Ask Edward. Not Edward. I asked Paul. See, after looking at you, I thought of Edward now. I asked Paul. And I asked Linda, where is God now? So God is, Paul quickly answered, God is in heaven. That means God is not with him. All right? Now you answer that question while you are seated in that chair. Where is God now? It's a good answer that God is in heaven. But unless and until he comes into your life, God is far away from you. And so I asked Linda, where is God? She said, God is everywhere. That's wonderful too. That's a true answer. God is everywhere. Now, if God is everywhere, then he is not with you. That's why you are looking for him here and there. They came to their senses. I says, okay, I promise to give them some literature which we are going to pass on, isn't it? You see, this is how people think. And that's why they come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the reason the Lord Jesus came into this world. He came so that man can come to him and that they can know what it is to have eternal life. They can know what it is to have their sin problem settled so that they can know how it is to live in the purpose of God. That's why they were pressing unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am so thankful to God, the Lord Jesus was so willing to speak to them. The Bible tells me, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And here, they were ready to receive the word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Mahmud received the word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He says, Lord, this is his prayer. Together we prayed. And he said, Lord, I am so thankful that I have come to know you today. That you came searching for me. All these days I was searching for you and I couldn't find you. And that's true. If you search for him, you can never find. You know what did I tell Paul and Linda? God is right behind you. Right behind you. And you are going forward all the time looking for God. And that's good. You can go forward looking for God in religion. You can go forward looking in your own ways. You can go forward looking for God in various ways that you like. And God all the time is just behind you. Now what do you need to do? Mahmud did that. He made a roundabout turn. And he came face to face with God. You see that now? God is right behind you. He knows exactly what you need. He knows all about you. He knows your sin problem. He knows you have that nature of sin which need to be settled, which need to be handled. He knows. He knows you need victory in this life. He knows you need peace in this life. He knows you need his power in this life. He knows you need his presence in you in this life. He knows that. And he's there. And that's why these people came pressing forward unto him. What did they came for? To hear God's word. Why God's word? God's word is able to make us wise unto salvation. That's why it is. There is no other word that can make you wise unto salvation. It is only the word of God that can make you wise unto salvation. And the Bible tells me in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, the word of God is able to bring you new birth. What do you need to do? You need to repent, as the Lord Jesus Christ said. He says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What does that mean? Repent means simply turn around and face God. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants your life to be a life that is full of him. He wants your life to have the purpose of God. He wants your life to bring pleasure to him. And this is what he can do for you. You can't do anything for yourself. Because why? God is all the time behind you. Beloved, dear friends, think of this. Mahmud that day says, Lord, this is how he prayed. He says, Lord, I have been restless, but now you say, come unto me that are heavy laden. I will give you rest. I lift my load up to you, Lord. Take away my load and give me your peace, your power, and your presence. You know what Mahmud is today? The preacher of the gospel. If you have a ear, the gospel clearly preached on the Lord's Day morning at 10 a.m. on the television, you will hear Mahmud. He says, I intend to kill thousands of people, but I was killed by the cross of Christ the Lord. Now I live to bring salvation news for all mankind. That's how he starts his gospel preaching. See that now? This is what God can do. And this is what God wants to do. He wants you to
to enjoy that new birth, which can only come from His Word. And the Bible tells me that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. He took your sin and my sin, and He went to that cross. There, He settled the problem of sin. The one who has no sin, on Him was placed your sin and my sin. So He took upon willingly your sin and my sin, and there by His precious blood, He paid the price for your sin. That's a price for your sin. Precious blood. No other price can ever be able to purchase you back from the slave market of sin. Only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the next thing the Lord Jesus Christ did, not only He gave you the price for your sin, not only He paid for your sin, but He pleaded for you. Have you ever pleaded to someone? Have you ever pleaded to someone and said, please help me? And have you been disappointed because your plea had not been heard? I can tell you, hundreds of people that I have come across with in my prison ministry in Singapore that went to the gallows, they pleaded with the government. They pleaded with the court. They pleaded with the higher authorities that they were. They have at least three times to plead for. And they did all that. Their plea was never heard, never answered. They went to the gallows. But you didn't plead, but for you and for me, the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross pleaded. You know what He pleaded? You know what He pleaded for you and for me? Father, forgive them, for they know not. You believe that you know not? Let me show you one other man who knew not what he was doing. Here was a religious man, well respected by the people. He was known as the walking dictionary of his day. Was a great man. And yet he tells us this in Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I'm going to read to you verse 13. Who before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy. The pleading of the Lord Jesus Christ was the mercy that's going to be granted for you and for me. He obtained mercy because, he's giving you a reason, because here was the great learned man. Great religious man whose life people would like to imitate his life. And this is what he says. Because, you want to read it? 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Because I did it. You know that word there? I did it. You see that now? Your refusal of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus understands that so very well. Your rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ thus far, He understood that very well. Your not wanting to give your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ, He understands all that so very well. And He pleaded for you on the cross because He says, you ignorantly go about. And that's exactly what Paul said. I did it in ignorant. And the next word, ignorant. And then what else? In unbelief. Unbelief. Dear friends, beloved in the Lord, this is a dangerous thing. What? This unbelief. Because why? After even becoming a believer, we can still have a heart, the Bible calls it in Hebrew, a heart of unbelief. An evil heart of unbelief. Here was a man that was in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and he says, Lord, I believe. And what does he say? Help my unbelief. Maybe someone here tonight, at this afternoon hour. You're going to say just like that, I want to believe. Help my unbelief. And so the Lord Jesus Christ pleaded for you. He paid the price on the cross. He pleaded for you. And not only that, you know the sentence for my sin. The sentence for my sin, both the nature of sin, as well as the practice of sin. The payment for my sin, the Bible says, the wages of sin is? Wonderful. The wages of sin is eternal separation from God. You are eternally separated right now. Not hereafter. You are eternally separated right now. The Bible says, if you believe him not, you are condemned already. Repent. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ while it is too late. Receive him before it is too late. The Bible says, he died for your sin and my sin. And the Bible says, he tasted death for every man. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross made that payment by shedding his blood, pleaded for you by calling on the Father to forgive you and me. And there, he gave up his spirit. He died. He was separated from God because of you and me. He died. Buried, he rose again on the third day. And so now he can come and live in your life, which he wants to do. Which he wants to do. Have you received him? Is he in your life? Well, what must you do? Very simple. Just follow what Mahmud did. Mahmud just said, Lord, take away all that is in me, the evil heart of unbelief, and help me to live for you. And today, Mahmud lives for God. I was listening to the radio recently. And it's a book you can go and buy. I think you people can get it. Maybe I can't get it. If I'm around here, I should buy. It's a recent book. A book, the title of the book is called The Son of Hamas. You know what is Hamas? Hamas is a militant group that is working in Arabia among the Palestinians. And he was the leader and leader's son. And he himself was a leader. He says, the son of Amos. How he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ and how the Lord saved him. You go and take that book up. Or you go to the internet and find that out. Huh? The title of the book is The Son of Amos. How God saved him. After going through all that, and he will tell you exactly what are the things that he has been doing in order to have fellowship with God, have a right relationship with God. He has been doing everything possible, including killing others to please his God. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ came in a very special way and changed his whole life. Today, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, can tell you exactly what that change is. What the difference the Lord Jesus Christ can make in your life. May your life become a life that has been affected by the wonderful grace of God. That you may know the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. He rose from the dead for you to live in your life, in my life. So that you and I can have that purpose, the purpose of God, going through this life. Shall we bow in the word? Maybe someone here may not be as bad as Mahmud. Maybe you are as good as that young man who went up with me to the hill. Alex is his name.
you want to open your heart to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You have not done this. You know it. I don't know. You have been living in just like the Apostle Paul before his conversion. He was living in ignorance. And you might be living in ignorance. If that is your case, you may know yourself. And you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Just pray a prayer in faith before him right now. Say, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. Come into my life. Change me. A simple prayer of that nature. Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. Come into my life and change me. And God knows your heart, knows your call, knows your cry, will surely answer that prayer. If you want us to pray for you and pray with you, after the meeting, please meet me or meet some of the brothers here, the elders of this assembly, and they will help you through. Father, we thank thee for the time spent together. We thank thee for the blessings that has come through the Lord Jesus Christ. We who were poor now have been made rich through his grace. We thank and praise thee. O Lord, how wonderful this morning thou allow us to know thy mercy endureth forever. And we bring praise and worship and thanksgiving and bless thy holy name. O Lord, if not for thy mercy, today we would have not heard this wonderful gospel that Jesus Christ saves. We thank and praise thee, Lord. If there should be one heart here calling on thee in repentance, seeking to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we know thou will answer such a heart. Grant them boldness and strength to publicly confess, because he who that believe in his heart and confess in his mouth is saved. So help them. For we give thee thanks, committing one and all to thee, in the precious name, O Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.